Glory be to God in the highest. It is so good to be with you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Gospel Light House of Prayer International monthly communion service, December the 3rd, 2023, first Sunday of December, and we thank God for the privilege to worship Him, to remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose on the third day, but communion is not only about that, it is also about remembering the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for us. For those of us who are born again saved. And speaking of that, dear friends, allow me to share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason why we're here and what we're remembering. In case you might be religious but lost, you might be a person who goes to the church but you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. First of all, the Holy Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that means I am a sinner and you're a sinner. The Pope is a sinner. The Dalai Lama is a sinner. And even Joel Osteen is a sinner. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have failed God. We have not met His standard of holy living. In fact, no one is perfect but the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are going to die because of our sins. For the Holy Bible says the wages of sin is death. We're going to die for our sins. You say, well, preacher, what is sin? Lying, stealing, lusting after people and things, dishonoring and disobeying our parents, dishonoring and disobeying God, taking His holy name in vain, committing fornication, that is having sex without the benefit of marriage, committing adultery, having sex outside of the bonds of your marriage with somebody else who may be married or may not be married, committing the sin of homosexuality, a man with a man, a woman with a woman, is a sin in God's sight. In fact, it is an abomination. A whole lot of talk is going on about it today, but it is still an abomination in God's sight. Whatever your sin might be, you're going to die for your sins. For the wages of sin is death. And if a person does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they will die and go to hell and spend eternity in the burning hell. And by the way, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, prophets, Old Testament, New Testament apostles. And when he preached on hell repeatedly, he mentioned that the fire in hell shall never be quenched. That ought to make you want to get saved, because you should not want to go to a place of torment and pain. And so, dear friend, the good news is Jesus Christ made a way for you to escape that. The bad news is what I just told you. We are wicked, evil, ungodly sinners. Number two, we're going to die because of our sins, whether you believe it or not. And number three, we're headed towards hell if we don't repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins, who paid our sin debt, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of Almighty God. And by the way, you can't take, or you should not take, communion until you are saved and born again. That's why I like to preach the gospel before we take communion, to give people an opportunity to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can take communion with us. Now here's the good news, straight from Jesus Christ himself. He preached it first and best when he said the most important words in the history of the world and the most loving words in the history of the world. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven and told us one night in front of Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Perish where? Perish in hell. Everlasting life where? In heaven. So very simply, what God wants you to do is believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, who paid your sin debt and took your sins far, far away. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of Almighty God. Pray and ask him to save you. For Jesus Christ said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now this was not easy for God, and this was not easy for Jesus Christ. It was very painful and very humiliating. But God and Jesus Christ made it easy for you. All you have to do is believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and pray and ask him to save you. I did this December the 19th, 1979. And if God can save me, he can save you. My dad was a preacher. I hated my dad for no reason. My mother was a preacher too. And because of that, and because my dad was pretty popular in the area, I rebelled very harshly against my dad. And I cursed and swore that I would never be a preacher like my dad. Repeatedly, I did this in front of my friends, girlfriends, and so forth, who would bring that up, which infuriated me. I didn't like my dad's friends. I didn't like my mother's friends, the church folk who came over and ate up all of the food on Sunday afternoon. I hated them. I hated church. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so after I left home, I was running away from God and the church. I despised it. But someone visited my room while in the Air Force in a dorm room in Biloxi, Mississippi, and showed me what I just showed you, told me what I just told you, same verses and all. And I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ that night. And believe it or not, the young man who used to curse and swear to his friends that he would never be a preacher, who even said he would drive the bus to hell, I got saved that night, December the 19th, 1979. Jesus came into my heart, saved my soul, and immediately started calling me to preach, which I refused for about 2 or 3 months until I finally submitted to his will. And now I've been preaching for over 43 years by the grace of God, preaching the gospel every time I preach, because that's what saved my soul and turned my life around and changed my life. And if Jesus can save me and change my life, he can save you and change your life. So follow me in the sinner's prayer before we take communion. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I've done wrong in my life that you have given to me. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I believe now in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change. Help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil lifestyle and to follow you in the newness of life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, and you prayed that prayer in sincerity, by faith in Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. So congratulations for doing the most important thing in life. Now, what God wants you to do, by the way, you're permitted to take communion tonight. If you have some grape juice, regular grape juice, not the white kind, not white grape juice, red represents the blood of Christ, or you have a dry red wine in the house, you can use that. If you have some unleavened bread, you can use that. Or you can make some real quick and take communion with us tonight. Other than that, God wants you to pray every day. Read the Bible every day. He wants you to join a good Bible-believing church in your area. A Bible-believing church, a Bible-teaching church, a Bible-living church. This church will have a certain reputation, and here's what people will say about this church. Oh, no, they don't play over there. They're serious about Jesus. That's the church you need to go to. And if you can't find that kind of church, to keep on coming to church with us. Type in Gospel Light House of Prayer International. and hundreds, thousands of sermons will come up. You just pick one and join in, get with your family and friends and gather around and worship the Lord together. Where two or three are gathered together, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is in the midst. Yes, you can have church at home. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And there are local churches or churches in your state that might be far from you that are more local in case you need some help and a place where you want to give tithes and offerings. You can do that. Connect with them online. Worship with them live. And if you need something, go and get the help you need. You can type in Daniel White III. I'm the pastor of the Gospel Light House of Prayer Church International. Pastor of Gospel Light, evangelist for Gospel Light Society International. Type in any of that and you'll find thousands of sermons, thousands of devotionals, thousands of Bible studies, and nearly 50 different subjects. And you can sit right there in your easy chair and worship the Lord with us, on demand and live. I'm live 3 or 4 times a day, on demand thousands of times. We're here for you. You can email us and let us know if you need something. And so, dear friends, remember the motto of the Marines, Semper Fidelis. Be always faithful, in this case to the Lord. Remember the motto of the Air Force and the Space Force, Semper Super. Always above. Keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord, and He'll keep you in perfect peace. Now, dear friends, let's go into the communion service. But before we do, let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallowed be your name tonight. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. By your power, we remember that tonight as we should every day. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, if anyone in this audience has grieved your Holy Spirit or quenched your Holy Spirit, help them to confess it and repent. And Holy Father God, I pray and I thank you for your holy word. So, scripture, we live by your holy word and not by our feelings and our minds and what we think. I praise you and thank you also for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I cannot get my head around it, but I thank you for it. And the favor that you have shown me and my family and others who have believed in you directly and then through other people is amazing. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you tonight for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings. For Jesus Christ's sake, before we take communion, God in heaven, have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our faults and our failures, Wash and cleanse our souls and our spirits and our minds in the holy and precious blood of Christ of all sin, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would crush and crucify our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh within us and the old man within us, and fill us tonight afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. And Lord God in heaven, I pray, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin tonight and throughout the remainder of our lives, moment by moment, second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, each and every day. Put a guard in our hearts, our minds, tongues, attitudes, and temperaments, that we will not sin against you. For the problem is sin. The reason why we're here tonight is because you died for our sins. And we're honoring you and remembering that. And Holy Father God, I pray that you'll grant me your grace and grant all of us your grace who are saved and born again in this audience tonight and beyond and on demand. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right, and act right and do that which is pleasing in your sight. Break the band of wickedness, evil, and sin in our lives. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will help those of us who are saved and born again to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our sins and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, I do pray tonight, Lord, for my wife, Marika White, who is with me, of 36 years. I do praise you and I do thank you, Lord, for keeping us married for 36 years. I praise you and thank you for the 7 children that you have given to me through her, and what a blessing they have been, each and every one of them, Lord. As you know, I do not know of any set of children who have served you more than these children for so many years. And I pray that you will bless them for that service unto you. At the same time, Holy Father God, my wife is not permitted to take communion tonight under under your leading me and under my authority as her pastor. I thank you, Lord, that she has made a profession of faith finally after 36 years. But there is something desperately wrong in her life. And I believe it's the devil using her to try to hinder your services on purpose. She's done that nearly every weekend for 36 years, and she has done it over the past 3 weekends, and it seems like it gets worse and worse. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you will truly save her soul. I pray that you will cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. And Lord, as you know, I pray like this. My wife has apologized privately and publicly for not being the woman, the wife, and mother she should have been down through the years. And I have prayed about it privately and publicly for years. And yet no real change, no permanent change. And so, Holy Father God, I pray, and not only for her, and the reason why I pray the way I pray, and the reason why I have said the things I've said, is not for us. Because of you only, our marriage is rock solid. I have no interest in divorcing her, and she has made it clear to me and to family members she has no interest in divorcing her husband, and that's only attributed to you, to your grace, your might, and your power, even though the marriage is not what it should be. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor. I also praise you and thank you for leading me to pray with her every day since I have met her, and with our children as well. And Holy Father God, I thank you for the wonderful years you gave me with my children as we served you together. And they rose to the occasion and rose above her. And as they got older, they took over responsibilities that I wanted her to have. And so I pray, Lord, tonight that thousands of other couples who are in the news tonight, pastors and pastors' wives, would start telling the truth inside the marriage to their church, to people over them in the ministry, so that everything will not come out in the wash in the divorce court as it is today. And so I thank you for leading me to be transparent, truthful, and honest about those things in our marriage, for you taught me a long time ago through Dr. Raymond Hancock that the best preaching, the best praying, is when it is truthful and real, even though it may look make you look bad. For that's what you did in your holy word. You didn't hide anything from us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And when we read David today and we read Psalms, Lord, our hearts are blessed because it is so real and so transparent. And the majority of the church has lost that transparency and have become phonies and hypocrites and fakes, and therefore not helping anybody, and have thousands of people out there thinking they're the only ones, when in reality most of us are in the same situations. Our marriages are not perfect. Our families are not hunky-dory and wonderful as we lie and say they are. And we ought not to come to the communion table with such hypocrisy and phoniness, being the Adams family at home and the Brady Bunch at church. And so, Lord God in heaven, not only do I pray that you will cast the devil and the demons of hell out of my wife, Marika White, her mother, aunts, and siblings, my mother and siblings, religious people but lost. But Lord, I pray that you'll cast the devil and the demons of hell, hypocrisy and phoniness, out of the church, out of pastors and pastors' wives who are living a lie, who have girlfriends and boyfriends and who are swinging with other people in the church to try to hold on to their marriages, and having sex with young ladies, both the husband and the wife, or with a young man, both the husband and the wife, practicing adultery with one another in the bed with somebody else. Holy Father God, you know all about it. It's happening across the country and around the globe. And so, Holy Father God, help us to truly, those of us who are saved and born again, and we know right from wrong, to confess our sins and repent, or not take communion until we do. And so, Holy Father God, I pray tonight that you will protect my children from the devil and the demons of hell and the generational curses that have come down the pike on both sides of the family, my wife's side and my side. And Lord, I raise them up in a certain way, away from all of that demonic foolishness. On my wife's side of the family and on my side of the family, and I have no regrets, because I wanted that generational curse broken in their lives so that they can live a victorious Christian life for real, as they lived under my authority, as their papa, their father, under your authority and leadership. What a wonderful time it was, and I thank you so much for the precious memories that fill my heart, my mind, my soul, and spirit every day, all day. A scene here, a scene here, a scene here, and another scene here. Thank you for blessing me to relive those victories and those memories. And now, Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving and the mourning in this country and around the globe and in the church, the household of faith. And Holy Father God, tonight, for those of us who are saved and born again, help us to always be able to take pleasure in our adversities, our persecutions, our attempted cancellations, our necessities, and to be able to always give you glory in them, and to always be cheerful in our tribulations, troubles, trials, temptations, tests, and tensions. And Lord God in heaven, this is one of the reasons why I'm praying for my wife's pure salvation, so that she can enjoy that peace that passeth all understanding, like those who are in the household of faith, that joy unspeakable that never leaves, no matter what the situation is, no matter how difficult things are. We can all who are saved and born again enjoy that peace that passeth all understanding, and that joy unspeakable. And we don't have to fake it. We don't have to be phonies about it. It's real. And so, Holy Father God, I pray for her salvation, for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, the healing of the sick, the comfort of the grieving and the mourning. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem tonight. We pray for the protection of the Israelites around the world as they are under great persecution, because they are your chosen people and they represent you in the world. And what a gift the Jews are. And Holy Father God, we still pray for the protection of the innocent Palestinians who are in great distress tonight, and for all people around the world. And Holy Father God, we pray that even though we have your peace, your pleasure, your glory, and the ability to give you glory in the midst of these things, and your joy unspeakable, and your cheerfulness. For you said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We still pray, Holy Father God, that you would deliver us tonight from our distresses and afflictions, things that seem like they don't want to work out. Deliver us, Holy Father God, from all of our tribulations, troubles, trials, temptations, tests, and tensions. Deliver us, Lord, tonight from all of our spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family, financial, legal, student loan debt, student progress problems, troubles, and difficulties. Help us to do our part and to do our responsibilities. And Holy Father God, I pray tonight that you will take away all fear and protect, Lord, my children, my family, and all, as you have done for many years, and all children and families in the household of faith and all people everywhere. Lord God in heaven, protect us from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us tonight the whole armor of God. Surround us with a band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us in the precious blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow as we take communion tonight. For we don't want to give communion unclean, and we don't want to take communion unclean, because there are millions of church folks who are dead tonight for doing so for many years. They never thought they would die because they have taken communion or given communion unworthily. At the same time, Holy Father God, I do pray and I thank you for allowing things to be as well as they are. I praise you and thank you for remembering mercy, loving grace, and showing so much favor to such wretched people as we are, which you know we don't deserve. Through the blood of your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins. And Holy Father God, I pray the prayer you gave me before the coronavirus plague hit, before Dr. Lois Evans died, before my little brother died. God, prepare us for good days and bad days. God, prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. And Lord, you know you have given this poor preacher and his children especially hundreds of days of great celebrations. Lord, you know we even created reasons to celebrate. So Lord, I thank you for those days. And still to this day, Lord, I still celebrate. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for that. Celebrations and tragedies, and the tragedies have been very few. But I thank you for those too. Prepare us, Lord, for weddings and funerals, for both can be tough. Prepare us, Lord, for life and death. And Lord, I pray even tonight at 63 that if you do not plan on taking me in the rapture, that you would make my death very smooth and very sweet. Lord, I don't deserve that, but I'm asking for that now. And I pray that for every one of your servants, because death is something else. And I pray that you will prepare us for it, help us to be realistic about it. And Lord, I pray that you'll make it, as you have said, precious in your sight and precious in our sight as well. I give you the glory, praise, and honor. I pray that you'll have everything we do and say tonight and throughout the remainder of the night and on into the morning until we die to be done for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the glory, praise, and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, "For I have received of the Lord," he just went right on into it, "that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." He was betrayed by Judas. And when he had taken, or rather, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing your body to be bruised and broken to the point of bleeding for our sins, as you are the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, so that we will not have to suffer in hell, which we deserve to do, because of your love, your mercy, and your grace, and your sacrifice. All I can say, Lord, is thank you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Take and eat. After the same manner, also Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death." You remember the Lord's death till he come. Notice that phrase, till he come. Communion is not only about the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, but about his coming back one day as well. We dealt with that last night in the Second Coming Chapel service. So, in the words of one preacher, get ready, get ready, get ready for the Lord to come back. Remember that as well. For that ought to keep you away from whoredom and whoremongering, lying and stealing, texting people that you should not even have their number, and allowing people to text you, looking at pornography, claiming to be a Christian. It ought to purify your life, the fact that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for he said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's what this communion is about, doing what the Lord said until he comes. "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." That's a serious matter. "But let a man examine himself, let a woman examine herself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." You say, "Well, preacher, you're being mean to your wife by not letting her take communion." Who do you think you are? I'm her pastor, number one. I'm the only pastor she's ever had. And number two, I'm her husband. You know why I don't let her take it? Because I know how she lives around here. I know how evil she is towards the Lord, towards God, towards the ministry, and towards the Lord's servant. I know how evil and unloving she has been to our seven wonderful children. You don't know that. You're just talking. You don't know what you're talking about. So because I do love her, I don't want her to die like that, like so many thousands have died from the church pews, from the church pulpits, for giving communion and taking communion while shacking up, while swinging, having girlfriends and boyfriends on the side, while hiding behind their wives, pastors hiding behind their wives, but they're homosexual secretly, see. And many of them are dead. and multiple denominations, because God does not play. Now, he's very loving, he's very patient, he's very long-suffering. As someone said, the will of God grinds slow, but it grinds show. Do you hear me? Okay? So it took him a while, because he loves you. I don't want my wife to die like that. I don't want my wife to die, because I love her. With the God kind of love, which is the only kind of love. And I like the fact that we have sex together, even though she is not a good woman, not a good wife, and not a good mother. But she has not failed in that area. I like the fact that she rubs my feet two or three times, my legs two or three times a day. I like the fact that she helps me to put my shoes on and put my pants on and even my drawers on. I like I like the fact that she does things that I don't want to do. She's always done the nasty, filthy jobs without balking to the point of not doing what she needs to do. She just gets it done. She might turn up her nose, but she gets it done. Such as changing diapers and things like that. I've never changed a diaper in my life. I've never even thought about it. So, I don't want her to die. I would rather die first, because I need a help meet, or at least a woman who gives me some help. So that's why I don't let her take communion, cause, and she knows she shouldn't take communion, cursing her husband under her breath, disrespecting God, disrespecting Jesus Christ, bad attitude, bad spirit, blowing, all of that. And she has had a choice to do right all of these years or to do wrong. And as I told her last night, you will answer to God. Each and every one of us will answer to God. So, dear friends, don't play with God, because God does not play back. He does not play. Jesus does not play. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you love me, keep my commandments," all of them, Old Testament and New Testament. "But let a man, let a woman examine himself, herself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." In other words, God is saying, take it seriously. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." Well, damnation is talking about hell. We're not just talking about death here. Don't play with God. Listen, people. God is not mocked. "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." God does not play like that. I'm telling you. Some of you people act like you don't know God. He does not play, man. He said himself, he is not mocked. You're not going to mock me and get away with it. You're not going to be a phony and a hypocrite and take communion in front of people like you're so holy and you full of hell and the devil. No, sir, no, ma'am. No, sir, no, ma'am. I believe a lot of those folks from the church pews and the church pulpits giving communion and taking communion while on Ashley Madison went straight to hell, messing with God. Yeah. I told my wife many times, do not mess with God. I've told her that. Warned her. There's things that she has said I would never say. About God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, I would never even fix my mouth. I said, don't listen. Do not play with God like that. Because God is not mocked. And see, God is no respecter of persons. The church is. Most pastors are. Pastors' wives are. Oh, the woman is always right. She's so wonderful. Look how innocent she looks. The man is always wrong and evil and mean. And the woman is always right. And look at, oh, that woman can't do anything. Oh, she couldn't do that. When you women know that women can do it because you do it. See? True love is loving your wife who may be pretty and fine and all of that, but confronting her about her ugly, evil ways, which most women have. Thank God for the few who are virtuous. But there's only a few, if any, according to the Bible. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, living in sin, wickedly, hypocritically, being a hypocrite, a phony, and a fake, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You're not taking the Lord's body seriously, man. God does not play that. I don't know who you think you're dealing with. Jesus does not play that, man. And you know that. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, many die messing with the Lord's Supper. I see, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't play with stuff like that. Why don't I play with stuff like that? It's not because I'm a good person. I'm a bad person like you. Somehow God put his fear in me. Well, he did it through chastisement. That's how he did it. God put fear, the fear of God in me. I don't play with God. I'm very careful about how I speak to God, what I say about God, how I use his name, my friend, and I don't mess with computer. I have never taken communion without deeply confessing my sins, my sinful thoughts, my temptations. I'm very careful about what I do before taking communion. I could have had sex with my wife this morning, but I was taking communion, and sometimes I get a little crazy when it's time for sex time. And so I said, no, I'm gonna hold back today. I may do something afterwards, but not. No, sir. No, ma'am. I don't roll like that. I don't roll up because God taught me that, not because I'm a good person. God put the fear of God in me. I don't mess with God, man. No, sir. No, ma'am. I'm still married because I don't mess with God. I don't play with God. I do not want to be in a position, get into a position where I am divorced and remarried. I don't want to do that. My wife and I were in a store the other day, and a beautiful Christian woman, I didn't even recognize. I had met her before. She sat beside her and my wife, and everything, and I told her why my wife and I are still married. And one of those reasons is because I fear God. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm living in adultery. You do what you want. And I'm hard on men who do this because I want you to know I could have done it too, but I didn't do that because I don't play with God like that. I don't want to end up going to hell. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, the Bible says. Judge yourself so that you will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. That we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together under condemnation. and the rest will I set in order when I come. Beloved, take and drink. That chalice that I just had my wine in, I don't use that chalice. I love that chalice. It's the best glass I have, but that is dedicated for the Lord. That's how much I fear the Lord. I don't drink out of that until Communion Sunday. Everybody knows it. I had my wife to go get it. That's how much I feel. I don't mess with the Lord. I don't. Because I know that the Lord can, he can get you and he can hurt you. In love. And he won't be mad at you. Anyway, folks, I have preached the gospel to you. I've led you to the Lord. I can't make you get saved. God won't even make you get saved. I hope you got saved and you took communion with us. God bless you and God keep you. Here's my prayer. Pray for me as I pray for thee. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow.